Welcome back, friends. So glad you could join us. We continue our discussion of the Vatican II documents. Today we look at the decree on the apostolate of lay people, its Latin title, Apostolicam Auxiliaritatem, which translates the apostolic activity. In this document, the Council Fathers want us to realize they've just discussed the role of the Roman Pontiff, the bishops, the priests, and now they want to focus on the laity. What is the role of the lay faithful? Much more than just being some silent bystander. They're an integral component of the church. For as we already saw in Lumen Gentium, it is from the laity that we get the priests and the bishops. And it's from the laity that the church herself grows and continues to grow. Of the 1 billion members of the church, some 95% of them are of the laity. So it is of crucial importance that we look at their role in the church. In this document, it begins by talking about the vocation of the laity. All too often we think of the word vocation as only talking about when someone becomes a priest or a nun or a monk. There is a vocation to the ordained priesthood. There's a vocation to the religious life, be it as a religious sister or brother. There's also a vocation to the married life and to the single state. And so Vatican II wants us to see that the vocation, one, is given by God. It is God who calls us either to one of these four states. And since it comes from God, they are all of equal dignity and right in the church. The priest is not superior to the layperson or vice versa, because it is the Lord who calls a person to whatever state he wants them. And why does he call them to that state in life? Because he knows perfectly, being God, which state will perfectly help them in their road to holiness. So the Lord, when he called me to the priesthood, knew that that would be the best means of my sanctification. I could have said no when God called me to the priesthood. I could have said, no, I want to be married, have a family, and be a lay person. I could have said, no, I want to stay single and remain a lay person. I could have said, no, I want to become a religious monk, a brother. But the Lord called me to the priesthood. Whatever state he calls you to, he knows with perfection and precision that that will be the best means of your sanctification. And since he knows that, he's going to provide all the things you need to achieve that end. So if he calls someone to the priesthood, he gives them all the graces they need to become a priest and to become a good priest. It's not an infallible guarantee that they will, because a person has to always, every day, choose to do good, choose to grow in holiness, choose to become a better priest or a better husband or a better wife, and vice versa. So the council wants us to see, remember we looked at, going back to Lumen Gentium again, and our decree on the lay state that we're looking at today, everyone's called to holiness of every state in life. So this vocation then, of the lay people, what is it founded on? Well, there's a spirituality that should be proper for the lay person. Throughout the centuries of the church, however, what has happened is there's been a well-defined spirituality for the religious and then for the clergy. In the very beginning of the early church, especially since the monastic times of St. Augustine, St. Benedict, the fathers of monasticism, and then going on into the mendicant orders, the Franciscans and Dominicans, and then further going on with the Jesuits, the Redemptorists, the Vincentians, and so forth, they developed a spirituality that comes from the charism of their founder. And it's one that focuses on the religious life, the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And then the diocesan clergy sort of took that spirituality and modified it to suit the needs of the parish priest. And then the lay people would take what the priest had and then further modify it. Well, the problem was it was originally a religious spirituality that was tailored for religious life of a particular congregation or order. It wasn't properly designed specifically for the diocesan priesthood, and certainly not specifically designed for the layperson. And so the problem came in over the ages, and it was not by design, it was not by anyone's particular choice, it just happened that way, that the lay people did not have a spirituality of their own. And so they thought the only way to holiness was that I had to become a priest, I had to become a monk or a nun. Yes, if God was calling you to that, that was the way you had to go. But what if he wasn't calling you to those states? What if he was calling you to be a husband or a wife, a mother or father, or just a single lay person? Wouldn't he give you the means you need if he was the one who was calling you? Yes. Some 30 years before this document was even written, Blessed Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, talked about a call to holiness of everybody, that every single person can be sanctified in their ordinary work. And the Council Fathers of Vatican II, in this document, continue on that vein that Blessed Jose Maria began. And so the Council Fathers want us to see in this document that the lay person will be given all the means God sees fit to give them that they need to grow in holiness. So as a person is a father or a husband, a wife or a mother, or just a single person in the world, he's going to give them all they need. And their spirituality should be designed in such a way that it helps them in that vocation. To give you a clear example of this, a person who's a cloistered contemplative, they spend a lot of time in prayer, in contemplation, a lot of time before the Blessed Sacrament, like the nuns here do at EWTN, perpetually before the Blessed Sacrament. But even though they spend a lot of time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, there's other things they must do. There's chores around the monastery, there's things that have to be cleaned, food has to be cooked, there's the work that has to be done here at the network. The same goes for the friars that work here. What about the lay people who work here at this network? They're involved in an important apostolate too. All the people here, our camera crewmen, our stage manager, our producers, our directors, they're all involved in an apostolate as well. It would be wrong for us to think, well, they're doing less of a job because they're not within holy orders, they're not within consecrated life. No, God hasn't called them to that. In the same way, it's not how much time do I spend in church, although that is a help, that's important help. But if I'm not a contemplative, if I don't have the opportunity to spend long hours in church, what if I have a job and I have to support my family? Am I less holy because I can't spend more time in church? No. When we look at the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Mary and Joseph spent most of their time doing ordinary work. Mary spent most of her time in the house, cleaning, cooking, sewing, taking care of Jesus. Joseph spent most of his time working in the shop, providing a living so that he could feed and clothe Mary and Jesus. And yet these people were the holiest people we can think of. The holiest human beings, Mary and Joseph, living with Jesus, our divine Lord and Savior, did most of their life doing ordinary work, and that's how they became sanctified. Yes, they went to temple. Yes, they went to synagogue. Yes, they prayed. But they also did their ordinary work. They did it with attention, with reverence, and devotion, because that's where they were in their life. That was their vocation. So this document even cites for us Mary as a perfect model of apostolic spiritual life. This is found in the document where it says, the perfect model of apostolic spiritual life is the Blessed Virgin Mary, Queen of Apostles. While on earth, her life was like that of any other, filled with labor and cares of the home. Always, however, she remained intimately united to her Son and cooperated in an entirely unique way in the Savior's work, and now assumed into heaven. Mary wasn't only concerned with work, however. She wasn't a workaholic. And we remember the discourse between Martha and Mary, the two sisters of Lazarus. Martha was sort of upset with her sister Mary because Martha's preparing this beautiful meal and dinner, and she's cooking, cleaning, and she wants Mary to set the table, and she's spending time with Jesus. Well, there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time for prayer, for contemplation, especially when we're at Mass on Sundays. There's a time to make a prayer of thanksgiving. So it's not either or. Should I be totally involved in work? Should I be totally involved in prayer? Is it contemplative versus the active life? No. We all need both aspects. We need to know when it is proper, when it is appropriate. Certainly if I'm a father and I have a job and I should be at work supporting my family, I shouldn't be spending all day in church because I'll lose my job. Unless, of course, my job is there in church. If I'm the custodian, however, and I work at the parish, I can't tell the pastor I'm going to spend the next 3 hours in chapel. I'm going to have to be doing my regular work because that's what I'm being paid for. And yet it's a holy thing that I'm doing. Well, what if my father, which he did do, worked for 40-some years at a plant? He worked at General Electric. He was doing a holy thing because he was providing for his family. And he did his work well, not to impress the boss, not so that he could get accolades from his fellow employees, but it was the right thing to do, to be conscientious, to be responsible, to be fair and just. That was my dad, God rest him. And he became holy because he did his daily work well. So too, in this beautiful document, we see, particularly looking further down in the document in paragraph 7, laymen ought to take on themselves as their distinctive task the renewal of the temporal order. The whole goal of the laity, because they work in the world, is to sanctify the world. I, as a priest, the friars and the nuns as religious, we're not in the world per se. We're here to help the laity, because there's much more of the laity than there are of clergy and religious. So what we're, our job is to provide help and support and sustenance to the laity, because the laity are in far more majority than we are. So the priest, why was the priest ordained? He was ordained so that he could hear confessions, so that he can celebrate Mass for the people, not for his own sake. I wasn't ordained for me. I was ordained for the church, to be of service to God's people. The priesthood is the means by which I become sanctified, but my service is to Holy Mother Church and all her members. The layperson, however, when they come to Mass on Sunday, they are to be nourished by the Word of God and by the very body and blood of the Lord, so that when they go back into that world, when they go back to work, when they go back home, when they go back to school, now they have the impetus to be a leaven in the world. Jesus talks about yeast being a leaven. We are to be that yeast in the world. By baptism, we have that call. He talks about a lamp being put on top instead of under a bushel basket to be a light to the world. Every person by baptism, but especially the lay faithful, are called to promote this idea and to continue the work of evangelization in their own way. So that doesn't mean that when you go to work tomorrow, you now bring your Bible and rosary and start a holy hour at your desk, because you should be doing your work at that point. At the same time, it doesn't mean you put your religion on the back burner and say, well, my religious aspect of me, I do on Sunday, I'm now at work. No. Too many people in politics, in Congress, and in government, and other areas of endeavor do that, and it's dangerous. You do not separate your religious from your secular life. It is all one. But when I'm at work, I do my work, but I do it well. I do it morally. I do it rightly. I do it justly. I think of Joseph and Mary and what they did in the Holy House with our Lord Jesus. We read here in the document in paragraph 8, the greatest commandment of the law is to love God with one's whole heart and to love one's neighbor as oneself. Christ has made this love of neighbor his personal commandment. The love of neighbor, being caring and concerned for our neighbor. We have the spiritual and corporal works of mercy that are for everyone. Not just for the priests and nuns. They're not just for Mother Teresa's nuns who work with the poor and dying in Calcutta. It's not just for the sisters who are at the hospital. Every human being, because of baptism, especially God's holy children, are called to be concerned for their neighbor. But especially the laity, what can they do? Well, obviously, they can't volunteer as much time if they have a full-time job or they have a family to raise. But they can do certain things. They can support by their prayer, by maybe financial contribution, by maybe volunteering some time, by making sure their children learn that it's important that some people do provide service in hospitals, nursing homes, soup kitchens, that they get involved in some way, that it's not just somebody else's job to do, but it's part of my apostolic commission that I be involved and concerned with my community. The document goes on to say, the laity should therefore highly esteem and support as far as they can private or public works of charity and social assistance movements, including international schemes. So, for instance, Catholic Charities, which provides a multitude of benefits to Catholics everywhere, but not just Catholics. Anyone in need, they will take care of. We also have Catholic Relief Services. We have a number of charities all over the world, things sponsored by the church or sponsored by religious orders or communities. There are also international organizations and local groupings. So the document goes on to talk about different ways in which a layperson can get involved. There are things that we call like the Third Order Franciscans, Third Order Dominicans, Third Order Carmelites. That's the way in which a layperson can enjoy some of the spiritual benefits of the religious without becoming religious. They don't abandon the lay state in life. They don't abandon their family or their job, but they emulate the charism of that particular order. That's one means. Another means would be to join something like the Focolari or Opus Dei. Some people find great solace in these groups because they help them formulate their own spirituality, which is unique to them and their state in life. For other people, they like to do it on their own, make their own retreats every year, go to a retreat center. My dad every year used to go on retreat with the Men's Retreat League that was in Erie. He and my mother were very active in the Curseal movement. There are people who find great solace and strength in the Legion of Mary or in the Blue Army. There's so many different varieties of tools and means to help someone. There are so many people who help in the Apostle of This Network by their prayers, their contributions, the people who volunteer their time. Just praying in itself is a great help. Those of you who watch at home can pray for all the work that Mother Angelica does here in providing means of Catholic evangelization through this wonderful media. The document mentions in chapter 11 about the family. The Creator of all made the married state the beginning and foundation of human society. The family is the seminary of life, as one of the great saints have told us. In the family, we find sanctification. It is a house of God in a sense. So in the family, the sons, the daughters, the mother, the father, that's where spirituality begins. Not in church, but in the family. So when the family goes to church, see, and families need to go to church together. We know it's difficult to get the teenagers up. They don't want to go morning mass. They don't want to be seen sitting with their parents. They'd rather be at the mall. The little ones are squirming and squiggling. Dad's had a rough week. But it's so vital. If it can't be done every week, and maybe on alternating weeks, people go to their own separate masses, but at least try once a month as a family to go to mass. Because it's so vital that the family support each other spiritually. Everyone has beautiful memories of saying grace together as a family. Well, that's not just a part of nostalgia. That should be part of our daily life. Praying together. What sadly happens is so many people have so many things going on, soccer, play, ballet, baseball, extracurricular activities, dad's got a meeting, mom's got to go do a presentation. There's no time for the family to eat together. That is sad too, because that's where spirituality also comes about, not just in saying grace together, but in sharing a meal, which our Lord did often with his apostles and disciples. And for the first 30 years of his life, he shared meals with Mary and Joseph. The document also goes on to talk about young people. How critical and crucial it is that we realize that young people have to develop a spiritual life as they're young. The world's hitting them with so much temptation, with the drugs, the sex, the violence. We've seen horrible, despicable acts of violence committed by young people, children, not just adolescents. There's no spirituality there. And that shouldn't be. Children need to pray, and they need to pray not just by themselves to God, but as a family with their friends. We need to establish and have a renaissance of prayer and spirituality. And so young people are indeed the future. Why does the Pope always sort of get re-energized when young people are there? Because he sees the potential. I watched on television when right after Christmas, the Holy Father had been really socked in by illness and the recent events of Christmas. And he came outside, and they had a youth conference where they expected some 10,000-15,000. There was 100,000 young people there. And he just got so energized. You could see him beaming with smiles, and his strength just came back to him. It was amazing, because he realized, and he told them, you must pray, pray, pray. Now, the apostolate, as we're told in this document, the laity accomplished the church's mission in the world principally by blending of conduct and faith, which makes them the light of the world. In the workplace, in the school, wherever the person is, when they live a Christian life, when they follow the commandments, when they live a moral life, when someone can see that, yeah, this is a person of prayer. Not that they see you sitting at your desk praying all day long because you've got to do your work, but they see you're a person who is prayerful. You do your job, and you do it well. You're an honest person. You're a moral person. And when there's something of great urgency, people say, I know that person prays. You can tell someone who prays. You don't have to see them necessarily praying. You can tell, because a person who is prayerful is someone who surrenders to God and lets God dominion their life. God is Lord over all, and they surrender to Him. But they also do what they have to do. As St. Ignatius said so often, I must act as if everything depended upon me, but pray as if everything depended upon God. The document goes on about the different apostolates, the individual apostolate, the group apostolate. So some people get involved individually. They might on their own go visit the hospital. They might on their own visit the prison. On their own they might have a little catechism sharing group. These are all wonderful things. Other people, they're not so individualistic. They need to do it as a group. So they join different things. Or they start little groups on their own. Little catechetical groups where they discuss the catechism or the encyclicals or the documents of Vatican II. I know of a few places where people get together, maybe because not everyone has the same cable company, and they'll all get together to watch different shows from EWTN, whether it's on the catechism or the live mother shows, or the journey home. And then they'll discuss what was talked about that night. That's a beautiful apostolate in itself. The document talks about Catholic action, ways in which people can get involved in already established organizations and movements in the church. People have already begun the groundwork. Why reinvent the wheel, in a sense? So you have your opportunity. You can join something new, join something old, start your own. It doesn't have to be anything particular. You don't have to follow the same recipe as everyone else. It's not how much time, but it's the quality, not the quantity. In any event, I have to see that my spiritual life is the most important part of my life. My career, my financial future, my security in old age, those are things, yes, that are important. But if my spiritual life is not the most important, if I'm not concerned in getting to heaven and taking my loved ones with me, then all is lost. What the document concludes with is that the hierarchy's duty is to favor the lay apostolate, paragraph 24. Furnish it with principles and spiritual assistance. The job of the clergy is to help the lay apostolate, to be of support to them. So when the Legion of Mary's meeting, not to just say, well, here's the key to the room, but to occasionally visit them, to pray with them, to provide services for them when they need a retreat. They need confessions. But just to let them know, we appreciate the work you do. So many people are helped by the Legion of Mary or the Blue Army, are helped by all these different groups and various apostolates in the parish. So often we hear so many things talking about the ministry of this, ministry of hospitality, ministry of the book, ministry of the parking lot. Well, ministry has been watered down so much now, it means virtually nothing. There's the ordained sacred ministry of Jesus Christ and His priesthood. There's the ministry people fulfill in the church and liturgical worship. But there's the apostolate, where the baptized person fulfills the role of an apostle, just like the 12 apostles, bringing the Word of God, the spoken and written Word of God, putting flesh and bone on it in everyday life, everyday work, whether it's in the classroom, at the factory, the workplace, the kitchen, the basement, wherever someone has to do their work. And this document also concludes very beautifully in referring to the training that should be done, the assistance that needs to be provided, encouraging people, like young people in college, to get involved. So often there's so many extracurricular activities, fraternities, sororities, this group, that group, join this club. What about getting involved in apostolate? Letting those college kids know that besides their academic studies, they should be studying the way of the Lord, having a plan of life, studying holiness, which has to be practiced, not just thought about. This document reminds us that the lay person has a vital role in the church. It's different from that of the clergy, from the priest. His principal job is to sanctify by providing the sacraments, by teaching the truths of the magisterium, and especially through the hierarchy of the bishops, united with the Pope always, to give leadership and governance. But the role of the laity, unlike that of the religious, is not to be separate from the world, to pray intensely many hours of the day, to make the sacrifices of the councils of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But the laity, in their own right, have a call to sanctify the world by showing people what it means to be a Christian in the world, to be a light in the world, to be a leaven, a yeast that gives rise to that dough. So when people see the layperson, the Catholic layperson, they say, that person's giving lay witness, not by standing on a corner and preaching, but by living a gospel, living a sermon in their very life. So this document gives us clear and absolute direction that the lay apostle is vital, it is crucial. The priest, the clergy, the religious, we have to support each other and the lay apostolate. And those of you who are of the lay faithful, know that you are doing an immense work of God, an Opus Dei. You are doing what the Lord wants when you do it well, when you fulfill your vocation to holiness. Well, we appreciate your kind attention, ask you to tune in again. And as always, may God bless you and Mary keep you.